Let's hear God's word together. And we're going to turn to the Gospel of Luke chapter 2. We're going to look at the Christmas story today. Give us some time to start thinking about the great things that God did before we get to Christmas Day. Celebrations in the world are in full tilt at the moment. So let's hear from God's word, Luke chapter 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Right, 3 weeks to go to Christmas Day. The world is going a bit crazy, manic, as it always does. The schools are getting their shows ready. The parties are being planned. The Christmas dinners are already in full swing. And we, as God's church, celebrate that God sent his Son into the world. That whoever believes in him should not perish, but should have eternal life. And the world would want to portray that as something that's quite marginal, something that's on the outside. But actually, there are thousands upon thousands of people in this country alone who believe in Jesus, and for whom Jesus is the center of the celebration. It was my privilege to be involved in some of the preparation work for Lighting Up Brentwood last Saturday. And one of the things that we did was to put together a brochure listing carol services from the churches in Brentwood and the surrounding area. We ended up with 27 churches on this advert. And that didn't get them all. That's just the ones that we managed to get. There are certainly well over 30 churches meeting regularly within the borough of Brentwood. So don't believe those who tell you that Christianity is getting outmoded. It really isn't. And we have come today. And my reason for getting to the Christmas story early this year is really to help us to try and get Jesus at the center of what we do. Now, I don't know how that is for you. I suspect that for some, perhaps many of us, it is quite difficult because it seems that the pace of the world really speeds up at this time of the year. Things get faster and faster and faster. I was in one eating establishment in Brentwood this week, and I won't name it, but all the staff were moaning that they were being threatened with disciplinary action if they don't work on New Year's Day, even if they don't normally work on a Sunday. And there's this push at this time of the year. Now, I appreciate that not everybody feels pushed. There are other people for whom Christmas seems very quiet, very lonely. Perhaps there are people who we love who won't be there this year. Perhaps at one time things were more exciting for us than they used to be. But for many, there is this big push. Do this, do that, do the other thing. And we run, and we run, and we run. So thank you today that you have taken time out of what for many of us is a very busy time of this year. Thank you that you have taken time out today to say, I will worship Jesus. Thank you today that you have said that you're not going to be so caught up in the whole storm of Christmas that you forget about him. Well done to you for doing that. But let's see if over the next few weeks we can keep Jesus central to the Christmas that we are having. Now, the title that I put for this morning's sermon was, Where Will We Find Jesus? And I guess for me, that is a heart cry this Christmas time. I don't want just to be spouting about Jesus in various places this Christmas. I don't want just to be singing some carols. I don't want to be just eating the Christmas dinner and watching Doctor Who and all of that stuff. I want to find Jesus this Christmas. I want that Jesus should be real in my experience. And I'm hoping that that's where we're at as a group today. That over this Christmas time, we want to know Jesus. You know, I was saying earlier on that we're going to have a carol service and we want to invite friends and family to it. We usually get people come in from the community who don't normally come to church, but they like carols, so they'll go to that type of event, and we're very grateful for that. And that excites me. It excites me that people who do not yet know Jesus should discover him and realize the great things that God has done in sending him. But for me, just at this moment, what matters more is that those of us who do know Jesus, know him again this Christmas time. That we find we're being drawn back to him. That we find that we're being called again to love him. That we're finding that we're being called once again to hear his voice. And perhaps above all, to find that we are being called to celebrate. To find that we are being called to, as a song puts it, join in the dance that began so long ago when Christ the Lord was born in Bethlehem. To hear that voice that's speaking out through all the noise, through all the busyness. Today, a Savior has been born to you, and he is Christ the Lord. So let's come humbly to Luke chapter 2 today. And the first thing that I want to notice in Luke chapter 2 is that the shepherds had to be told where to go. The instructions were strange. You will find a baby lying in a manger. That's not what they expected to hear. So the instructions were very strange. But it wasn't... I've lost my train of thought. It wasn't just that the instructions were strange. It was that they needed instructions in the first place. They needed to be told where Jesus was. So here they are. They're out in the field. There is this bright light. They are terribly afraid. It'd be good for us to notice that. There's a lot of fear in the Christmas story. It's fear that's dealt with. The characters don't end up scared. But people have this sense of being drawn into something that's far bigger and scarier than anything they've ever imagined before. And the instruction, don't be afraid, good news of great joy. And the sign is that in the town of Bethlehem, in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you, the Messiah, the Lord. And they had to move. The angel didn't say to them, "Here's Jesus. I'm showing you Jesus now." The angel said to them, "Over there, you've got a journey to make. Not a huge journey, but you've got to make a journey." And I don't know what was going on in the lives of those shepherds. Had they been having a good night? Had they been having a busy night? Were their businesses going well? I haven't got a clue. But at that moment, God steps in and God says through the angels, "Go to Bethlehem." They had to pay attention to what they'd heard and they had to go. And it's when they go and they get to Bethlehem and they find the manger and they find the baby in the manger that they're rejoicing because it was exactly as they had been told. Now, there's a lot of angels at the start of Luke's gospel. There's three stories of angels, of God sending messengers to people and saying, "This is what's going to happen. This is what you must do." And in this Bible reading that we read this morning, the angels are pointing in one direction only. They're pointing towards Jesus. And I need that instruction. And I suggest that you need that instruction as well. I'm somebody, you know, I've done a lot of thinking about the Bible over the years. I've done a lot of theology. I've been trained in theology. I read loads of books about theology. But I need to come to this simple Christmas story and read it and take it in again and be grasped by the wonder of it and to say to Jesus, "Jesus, I want to meet with you." So what I'm going to suggest that you do this Christmas time is that you take the time to read what's in this book and hear what the angels are saying. I'm not saying start at Genesis and work your way through to Revelation. No, let's take something much more simple. Just take the first couple of chapters of the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Luke, the chapters that tell us the Christmas story. And come to it very, very humbly. And before you read, pray. And pray something like this: "Lord, I need to meet with Jesus again. Lord, I need to know what you are saying to me. And Lord, I come to this book today, and I'm not at all sure that I know the way. Oh Lord, you've done great things for me in the past. But Lord, even at my best, I don't think I've heard everything that you want me to hear. And Lord, just as you instructed the angels, just as you instructed the shepherds by the angels, will you please instruct me? I want to find Jesus this Christmas time. I want to know where he is. I want to feel again that same joy that the shepherds once felt." I guess this morning, this is a sermon perhaps especially for people who've been a Christian a long time. And perhaps the danger for you is that Christmas could really spiritually pass you by. And there's all the pressure to do that. You know, people who love carols often haven't got a clue what they're singing about. You know, we sing great lines like, you know, "The Lord being born in us today." And we say to the Lord, "Come with us, abide with us. Our Lord Emmanuel," that's from a little town of Bethlehem. Ask him. Say, "Lord, I want to be instructed." Say, "I want to know where I can find Jesus." Well, where can you find Jesus? Well, the shepherds found him in the city of David, in the city of Bethlehem. That was the place that the prophets had spoken about. It was the place that the prophet Micah had mentioned. That's brought out elsewhere in the Christmas story. It was the place of a man who had been a great king, and God had promised this great king that one of his descendants would be on the throne forever. So if God's going to bring hope to the world from anywhere, it's going to be Bethlehem. But it's in Bethlehem rather than Rome, the great political power of the day. Rome, ruled by Augustus Caesar, who's the first person who is mentioned in our Bible reading today. You know, Augustus Caesar was the adopted son of Julius Caesar. Up until the time of Julius Caesar, Rome had, at least in theory, been a republic. It was Julius Caesar who turned it into an empire. And Julius Caesar took his family name Caesar and he changed the meaning of this word so it really meant something like emperor. So that all the Roman emperors who came after him would take the title Caesar. And until, well, not that long ago, a century or so ago, people were still taking titles like Kaiser and Tsar, which are just different forms of the same word. Julius Caesar was assassinated. His adopted son, Octavian, took to the throne. And Octavian gave himself a new name. The name was Augustus. He's the person that we meet in Luke chapter 2. And Augustus proclaimed that his father had become God, and that therefore he was the Son of God who was taking control of the world. And a gospel went out from Rome, as it was called. Peace on earth. The Romans have brought peace. God's Son is reigning in the world. That was the language that they were using. But the angels say, don't look to Rome. Don't look to political power. It's not where you will find Jesus. Now, that's got something to say to us today. Because so often we look in the wrong places for Jesus. You will not find him today in the places of power. You won't find him ruling from the Houses of Parliament. You will not find him in Buckingham Palace. You will not find him in the many emperors and leaders there are around the world who want to take control of this world and announce their own version of peace. No, you find him in the city of David. You find him in this story that is told in this book. And at the time of Augustus, there were poets and historians who would tell a story lasting 1,000 years. Which was the story of Rome and how Rome had risen from being this tiny little place to worldwide domination and greatness, bringing in the golden era that was going to last for 1,000 years. And God says, no, listen to my story. And today, let us place ourselves again in that story, because there isn't another one. The story of the people of God is the story of Abraham, of Isaac and Jacob, of Joseph, of David, of Isaiah, of Elijah, of all the heroes of the Old Testament, coming to its climax in Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the Anointed One. And in him, we put our hope. And we believe that he is God's King, reigning over the whole of the world. And so when we come to worship, we come to bow down before him. We come like the shepherds to say, we must find him. We must worship him. We come like the Magi to give our gifts to this King who has come to the world. Please do read these stories from the Bible over the next few weeks. If the opening of Matthew seems a bit strange, we're going to look at that next Sunday morning, and we'll look at it in a fair bit of detail next time, because it is really important. You will find him in Bethlehem. Where else will you find him? You will find him in a manger. This manger is really important in the story. It's mentioned 3 times in Luke chapter 2. We're told that Mary laid the baby in a manger. We are told that the shepherds are told about the manger, and we're told that when they go to Jesus, they find the baby in the manger. Now, the manger was a useful piece of directions to make sure they got the right baby, but there's far more to it than that. Jesus comes not to Rome, not even to Jerusalem. Matthew tells us that story. But he comes to what in world terms is a backwater. He comes to a place that in worldwide terms is nothing. And when he comes there, there isn't even a guest room that is available for him. He is found in a manger. the animal feeding trough. And there, because it's the best thing available, Mary takes her son, who says, Gaga. And she puts him into the feeding trough. And there is the hope for all the world. There have already been hints about this in Luke's gospel. Mary, when she hears about the birth of the Messiah that's going to be born within her, describes God as the God who welcomes the poor and who sends the rich away empty. And so he comes and he stands alongside the poor. There are no trumpets to announce his birth, well, except a few out in the hillside that only the shepherds see. There is no television coverage or whatever the local equivalent was in those times. Simply a baby being born into a poor family who've had to travel away from home and soon will have to flee into exile. And in the middle of this poverty, there you will find Jesus. No wonder it says that Mary pondered these things. Mary must have been scratching her head and thinking, what is God doing? Why has God chosen to put his son here? And I think the message of the manger for us today is that when we ask the question, where will I find Jesus? Asking this question individually. Where's the place the Holy Spirit wants you to see Jesus this Christmas time? It's not going to be the place that you expect it to be. And it certainly is unlikely to be in the middle of all the feasting and partying where everybody is happy. We know from the whole of Luke's gospel the company that Jesus likes to keep. He loves to be with the poor. He loves to be with those who are pushed out from other places. And when he meets the rich and he calls them to be his friends, he wants them to become one with the poor as well and to go out and to embrace them and to be friends with them. Where might we find Jesus? I wonder if those of us who are involved in Moses' basket will find Jesus in someone that they deliver a cot to this Christmas. Jesus said something, didn't he? He said that what you do for the least of my brothers and sisters, you do for me. I wonder if they'll find Jesus there. I wonder if they'll go in and give something and then come out and say, that was a holy encounter. Come to think of it, there is a link between Moses' baskets and mangers, isn't there? Jesus said, when you welcome a child in my name, you welcome me. Don't turn the children away. In his culture, the children were the weak and the vulnerable. I'm not sure that for all children that's the case in our culture, but it certainly was the case in that culture. So it may be that to find Jesus this Christmas, it's about embracing those who are in need. And you see what Jesus does? He doesn't just shout from heaven at those who are in need and say, listen to me. He comes alongside them into poverty, into being in exile, into having to run away and flee for his life to be saved. And Jesus doesn't want us at Christmas time just to be folks who like give a bit of money to charity or something like that. But he wants us really to get alongside those who are in need just as he did. His name, according to Matthew's gospel, is Emmanuel, God is with us. And there's a community out there that need to know that God is with them. And how are they going to know that God is with them? They know that God is with them when the church is with them. They know it when we get alongside. Not to make out that we are better than they are. We had a strong word about that on the church weekend, and that's absolutely right, the stuff that Ivan was saying to us there. But the shepherds find him in a manger. I don't know for you individually where the place is you're going to meet him this Christmas, but maybe it's going to be great. So if you want to meet him this Christmas, tell him you want to meet him. Tell him you don't just want to go through the motions. Tell him that, like the shepherds, you are ready to move when he tells you to move. Wouldn't it have been sad if the shepherds had said, oh, I just can't be bothered? Move. Whatever that means. Well, it says the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. May God help us to find Jesus this Christmas. Let's pray together.